This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for the preseason of Survivor 43. Survivor 40 B&B, perhaps. I'm dropping the three, which Mariah told us to do in the first place. We haven't put her picture up just yet, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time. Hi, everybody. Mike Bloom here, back for our, I think it's our ninth season, maybe?
I don't know.
Of coverage. Of Survivor, as yet another season is on the precipice for us in what has been, at least for myself, an incredibly hectic year of reality TV so far, especially this past month. But I am so excited to get into yet another season of Survivor US, coming off of just the greatness that was Survivor 42. Now, of course, I am not alone. I'm joined by somebody who maybe got the memo a bit too late that there were no Canadians in this cast, considering she is coming to us from Canada. Leona Boris. Leona, how are you?
It's funny. I actually thought about that. I was like, oh, you know, it's so funny that I'm in Canada to talk about a cast that contains for the first time, or at least from these past few seasons, no Canadians. I guess they were just sick of the Canadians coming across the border and taking the money. No taxes, damn it.
Yeah. Listen, let's mask off here. We did send you on a mission as a correspondent, right? That once the cast was announced, track down those Canadian contestants, get some exclusive interviews. Egg on our face. Definitely jackets and eggs on our face when we found out no Canadians this season. And now you're just hanging out north of the border.
I know. We're storing the eggs that are improper temperature. It's just it's all a disaster. Yeah, I was all prepared. I was like, I'm going to interview those one, two Canadian contestants. Mike, you got the U.S. ones. But no, no. They were too scared to put Canadians on their screen this year.
Yeah, we see you shaking in your boots, Survivor 43. I know we're talking about the dangerous type of fun, and they tried to make things a little dangerous, trying to avoid the risks that come by casting Canadians on, considering we are two for two so far. But this season, we're talking a red, white, and blue-blooded American season of Survivor in Survivor 43. And yeah, we're here to do our usual rigmarole, right? Get our thoughts on the cast, dip into what the casuals have to say before we start the fun and games proper. Very excited to get back into Survivor mode. It's been a minute, but also not. I talked about this on the podcast that I've been doing with Rob, right? That Survivor 42 ended in the end of May, right before Memorial Day, which at this point is about 3.5 months back. Feels both like 3.5 weeks and 3.5 years, considering just like both the state of the world and also all the reality TV that has happened since that time. Liana, what's your temperature check going into the season? Are you excited for Survivor US to come back? Would you want to put it back in the oven for a little while longer? What are you thinking about, even outside of the cast, the idea of having us jump back into another season of Survivor US?
Mm-hmm. I would say, for my mindset, because like you mentioned, there was the Challenge USA, there was Big Brother, there was so much going on. The Survivor cast drop really just was completely a surprise to me. I was actually out of town also. So it was like all of a sudden these podcasts started dropping and I was like, Who's Baca? Who's the Baca? Oh my God, Survivor's back.
We're Baca. I think we're the podcast that represents the word Baca the most. If, again, you know, the Japanese language of origin.
Yeah. No, definitely. Which was, again, like, I don't know who was in charge of the naming the tribes, but, you know, kudos, I suppose. So I will say I was a little unprepared, but through the course of listening to the interviews that you and Rob had done, reading some of the articles, watching some of the videos from Dalton Ross, I started to, again, get very excited about Survivor. It's truly something that I really love. It's something that we're getting to experience as the players talked about. It's ever changing. And I'm very curious to see what season 43 has in store for us, both in terms of the cast and in terms of the structure of the game.
Yeah, and to that latter point, I should mention something that is a bit breaking news are happening now, at least since the last time I got to talk Survivor 43. I had the great pleasure of getting to interview Jeff Probst and get his thoughts on things. I posted that interview yesterday, Wednesday, September 14th, at the time we're recording this. And Jeff did give some intel about, you know, how he and the team are personally approaching this, because you could honestly go down one of two roads, right? It could be this idea of, okay, this is the new era that 41 and 42 cemented. Now players are getting used to it, but we're going to keep relatively on the same track. Or the 40s of Survivor are all about keeping players on their toes and not knowing what's around the corner, so we're just going to continue to change things up. I do think they sort of like split the difference. They are still sticking to like 26 days, three tribes, no food for the time being. But they at least were learning from some things in 41 and 42. And particularly scrapping some less than savory ideas. RIP Hourglass, RIP Do or Die. It did die in this case, unlike the actual two times the Do or Die were used. And, you know, Jeff also addressed this idea of returning players as well that he had talked about pre-40s. So, yeah, the game perspective was honestly one of my biggest question marks coming in. And it's still a little bit of a question mark, maybe a bit of a smaller size. But it seems like at the moment, the general structure from 43 onwards for the next bit of time is going to be like, we're going to keep the same skeleton that we set up in the new era, and we just might tweak new little creative things to throw in every season.
Mm-hmm. What about the shot in the dark? Do we know anything about that?
Allegedly, the shot in the dark is coming back.
Okay. All right. Good. I need that for my predictions to know whether
I'll use
it or not. You know, the important things here. Well, I mean, I think that the success of the last two seasons for me has really been because of the strong cast. And So I mean, obviously, I care about twists like Do or Die or the Hourglass, because those were, I'm very thankful, are not coming back. I'll just say that. But as long as they're casting interesting people, you know, they can throw these little changes to the format, and I'm okay with them testing those types of things. I think for a show that's been on the air for so long, you kind of want them to, you know, and I'm okay with that as long as they're not like completely blatantly unfair.
Right. That's the thing, is I think there's a difference between trying something and it not working versus trying something and then deciding this is how it's going to be from here on out. And actually, when I tweeted the Jeff Probst interview, LaRue Botha, who is the showrunner of Survivor South Africa, a good friend of the podcast, like, had responded as such. And look, Survivor South Africa is certainly not without its times where maybe it misfires, going off the shot in the dark analogy. But they have the wherewithal to say, that didn't work, we're going to move on. I think, understandably, when people saw the Hourglass and Do or Die, they were nervous, essentially, that it would go the way of the Final Four Fire Making Challenge. Like, I think that is the biggest spotlighted example, right? Of, like, something that, by and large, the community doesn't like, but the show has decided, yeah, it's still going to be a part of our DNA. And so I think it led a lot of people, led an exhalation, a nice sigh of relief when they discover, okay, so when new twists get added, it can be one and done. It's not like we have to keep doing this in order to, like, you know, satisfy the creative juices that allowed us to create this. Hell, Redemption Island, despite the kind of like abject failure that came from season 22, was used two more times after that. And so I do think from a creative perspective, there is sometimes this idea of like, well, we used it. I feel like we have to keep using it just to mm-hmm. see if, what differences will happen. And so I will give kudos to production that they like used it. Yes, for those two seasons. Then they looked back on it and they especially looked back at the fan feedback and they're like, OK, we can accept that that didn't work. We're in a very experimental era of Survivor. It's almost like our midlife crisis, in a manner of speaking, where we're imbuing ourselves with this younger philosophy of, yeah, let's try things and see if it works or if it doesn't work.
The do or die, though, is what other options are there? Someone goes home, like that's not particularly exciting. Like you want to keep rolling the dice to see what happens there. So I can understand why that one was tossed in the trash. And then for the hourglass, I would absolutely love to know how much impact did Danny McRae have on that decision? Because
it's been a hell of a week for Danny McRae. I should say that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Truly a winner in our hearts. So I also think that there are other circumstances surrounding those two twists. The shot in the dark, for example, I think that there are more things that could play out with that. And so I'm kind of okay with that one staying just to sort of see. But if we play it out for like another, you know, two seasons, right? If this next go round includes it and it's still not really delivering, then, you know, I would be I'd be okay with that one going away as well.
Let's talk about this cast a bit, because we're going to start segueing into, you know, the first usual game that we do in the form of the superlatives. So, Liana, like you mentioned, you have poured a bit through the cast. Of course, I have given basically everything you need to know, or at least I know up to this point about the cast due to my written articles at Parade.com or the preseason interviews that Rob and I went through. Do you have any overall vibes? What's the vibe of the tribe, to quote a title from last season, when it comes to the cast of Survivor 43, in your opinion?
Well, I know we're not doing themes anymore, and you and Rob talked about this as well, but I got a lot of white collar, especially from the women. I think for some reason, the women really stood out to me, like Ellie, the clinical psychologist, Janine, the UX designer. I got the sense that that was sort of how the women, if I had to generalize and categorize, that's what I would say about the women. I think for the men, they all seem like very interesting characters to me. The women all seem very strong, very like smart, well put together. And then the guys are just all over the board, but in like a very interesting way, in terms of the fact that I think that there's almost, in my mind, more diversity amongst the men in terms of stories and characters. So to sort of generalize it in that way, I would say that that was my initial read of the cast. You know, they're all still so, I don't know them yet. You know, I see them in the preview and I go, I want to get to know you more. And I do feel like the interviews, sometimes the answers didn't quite give me a sense of their personality per se. And so I'm interested to get a little bit more to better understand them.
Yeah, it's interesting with these interviews because sometimes, to your point, they give away, you know, it's a lot more about the game and less so about who they are as the person. Sometimes it's the opposite, where sometimes they gave us a lot of personality and not so much the strategy. I know that like Mariah is someone that I think has been cited by some people as like, yeah, the interview is like, God, she's a fantastic personality. No idea how she's going to play the game. But yeah, I very much saw what you saw when I first looked at this cast about this general like white collar feel, especially with the women. I may be talking out of my butt here, but like, I'm pretty sure what like is Noelle really the only woman that doesn't necessarily have a quote unquote like office 9-to-5 type of job.
Right. So she was the Paralympian. What's the woman, Lindsay? She's a nurse. She a pediatric nurse?
Yeah.
Okay. Is teacher white collar?
I think teacher would be. I mean, I guess if we're talking, is teacher blue collar, white collar, or no collar? Because apparently that's all the times we can, all the colors we can put the collars into.
I guess it's probably white collar if I'm picking between the two. Cassidy could be no collar as the fashion designer.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
That way.
Do all of her outfits have no collar on them? That could be her design.
Oh, yeah, it's on purpose. Take that. And the cast also, there's like three people. Or at least two people. Jesse has a PhD, and then doesn't Carla have a
Carla has her master's, but she could get her PhD.
Due
to the scholarship that she got. But yeah, there is a good amount of like high education in here. Like, I think it is Dwight is a graduate student as well. So yeah, there's some education going on here as well. Though again, even someone like Gabler, right? This is his entire deal is like you look at him and you don't think this is someone who clearly went to medical school and is like, you know, helping people dying on the floor, some of Sammy's best fantasies. But like, here he is, someone who has all that education under his belt.
Right. And so I think that it's going to be interesting to see how that impacts how they play. If this ends up being a very calculated cast, because I also heard in a lot of the answers to who you want in an ally, they all said somebody who, or not all of them, but I heard a lot of people say, I want someone who is, you know, sort of grounded, rational, logical, you know, willing to sit and think through all of the decisions. And so if the majority of them are playing that way, I don't know. I wonder if then we're not going to get a lot of sort of crazy strategic moves if everybody is trying to play in a more rigid manner.
I'm going to read something from the Jeff Probst interview that I really want to hone in on and get your thoughts on, because I can't tell. Jeff always loves to speak in riddles, whether he is like referring to something specific that'll happen this season or something general. So I asked him, on the whole, what can you tell us about the castaways of Survivor 43? He said, I had a lot of fun with this group. There are some players with great underdog stories, some really funny players, and some very, very savvy players. You will also see early on that each tribe has a very specific vibe, almost a personality. For example, you might have one tribe that is petrified to even walk into tribal council, while another tribe is marveling at how cool their torches look while humming the tribal council theme. It's fascinating that both of these tribes are walking into the most dangerous part of the game. That's fun for me because I can explore those different personalities and at challenges and tribal. And I'm going to pause there because there's one more, you know, little nugget to enjoy. But like looking at these tribes, can you speculate as to whether or not he might explicitly be referring to two, you know, different tribes vibing tribal council in different ways?
Who wouldn't be terrified to go to a tribal council? That's what I don't understand. Who's the tribe that's like, oh my God, these torches are so cute. Yes.
And that's Cassidy, right? Like, yes. Oh, I love this woodwork.
Well, I think the people who aren't afraid are the people who are just so excited to play the game. Like they want to go to tribal council because they want to play. And I would think that, oh my gosh, I don't know. Is it Baka?
I think Baka seems like the most combustible tribe. And so I think they might be the ones that are, I'm also trying to figure out, like work my way backwards up. Okay, one tribe is marveling at how cool their torches look while humming the tribal council theme. Like which tribe has the people that are most likely to do that?
And I guess who's gonna sting?
Yeah, exactly. And I guess it might be Baka, because I know that like you have people that are confident like a Sammy in there. You have someone like an Owen, right, who might be one of the biggest super duper fans on the cast. And so I could imagine me and Mariah as well,
like all I don't about think love.
Mariah's not gonna walk into anything scared, I don't think, in this game. So I would say Baka might be the most likely to like embrace the tribal council experience. So who are the fraidy cats between Vessi and Coco?
the scaredy cats. I would put it probably on, I would say probably Vessi to me gives me more of that. I don't know if scared though is the right word.
Yeah, remember Jeff said you might have one tribe that is petrified to even walk into tribal council.
I don't know. Between Coco and Vessi. Yeah, maybe I'm getting more from Coco that they would be scared. I don't know. But Ryan just is so cute and so adorable. I just can't imagine him being scared. And Lindsay also doesn't come across as like she would be scared. Like she feels like I feel like she would be there to really embrace everything. And James Earl Jones as well, the chess prodigy.
James Earl Jones, the chess prodigy.
That's the only way I remembered his name was James, because he likes Earl and his name is James Jones. It's James Earl Jones.
And so I agree. And you also have Carla, who I think, again, has this very much like take the bull by the horns type of attitude. So, yeah, I think it might fall on Vessi at the end of the day. Because I think also, while you do have maybe a bit of more of a wild card in someone like Cody, I think Coco also has, like, all the guys are relatively wild cards, and like Gio, James, and Ryan. Even though I think Ryan is a bit more of that, again, old school, I want to be this provider. James and Gio both seem like the mischievous types. So I think that Vessi would probably by proxy, and I think that makes the most sense, considering that I think people peg them in the preseason as like the most stable tribe, just from a personality perspective. And so I think it makes sense that they might have the whole kumbaya, we're a family, let's not break this up mentality.
Right. A little less chaotic, right? Because if you're happy with the what you've built and the stability that you've crafted, then obviously you don't want to mess that up. Whereas people who are happy to live in chaos and happy to just sort of fly by the seat of their pants maybe wouldn't be as terrified, because they're like, yeah, like, F it, let's do it.
Let me read another interesting piece of information that might show the tone of this season from Jeff Probst. Equally important is this fact. The personality of a tribe often leads to groupthink, and that groupthink can circle back and influence the gameplay of individuals. It's a bit like brainwashing. It's insanely powerful, and it should be terrifying to players, because if you're unaware it's happening, you start making decisions that are not in your best interest.
Oh no. Oh no. No. Not groupthink. Oh boy.
Just gotta vote with the house, Survivor edition.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, we're voting with the house. Oh gosh, I'm trying to interpret what that might mean and what direction that might take, because that terrifies me. I mean, obviously in most contexts it's because of, you know, like racism and sexism, so I'm really hoping that that's not the case here. But that's really interesting that if, you know, there's something that sort of sparks some initial groupthink that then cycles back in. But it's also weird because we have these tribes for the pre-merge. Mm-hmm. So if you have this groupthink and group strategy, then the people who are perpetuating that aren't going to survive very long, because they're the ones having to, you know what I mean? Or do you think it's like, oh, a whole group gets together and we're like, yeah, team strong, and then they're not willing to make their individual decisions when it comes down to it, or something like that?
Yeah, maybe it's just because I've been recently rewatching Redemption Island for historians, but like, I wonder if that's what they're referring to, right? And this was reflected much more in Survivor 23, right, with the whole quote unquote cult of Coach. This idea of like, and this can happen sometimes when there is no swap, that people could come in as like a very direct block of people because they haven't had the time to play with anybody else. And so they're very much like, okay, us versus them. And luckily enough, these past two seasons, we've had opportunities with these individually minded players to be like, no, I'm going to reach across tribal lines. I got a good vibe about this person. I don't have a good vibe about this other person that I've been playing with for however many days. Sometimes that coin flips the other way, where maybe we see a case here where either it's been forged in the fires of tribal council, or just like maybe a tribe wins a bunch of challenges that like they are just a hard and fast block by the time the merge approaches. And so they're going to carry forward with this mentality of like, nope, we said top five, and so we're going to be top five strong. Again, I don't want to necessarily tamper anyone's expectations, because one of the fun things about 41 and 42 was like the post-merge and how flippy floppy it was and all these big swings that were being made. But I don't know. This answer's got me feeling a certain way if we're comparing this to brainwashing.
Yeah, no, it's just cool. Just some casual brainwashing. It's fine. I have a few questions. Question number one, how many pre-jurors will there be?
So I'm going to imagine they're going to do... So while I don't think there's an hourglass, I still think they like the idea of like the mergatory earn your way to the merge. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling that they're going to keep doing what they've done before, which is the jury at 11. So I think 8 jurors, 3 finalists, I would assume.
Okay. 8 jurors, 3 finalists.
So it would be like 6 pre-jurors, and then that 7th, you know, pre-juror is going to be the odd, like technically made the merge, but kind of didn't person.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm just trying to think of like how many people, because like theoretically, if you have a tribe completely win out, right, and they keep all 6 of their people, then are they going to have the majority going into the merge? But if it's what'd you say? 8, it's 11.
Mm-hmm.
Math.
Yeah.
So yes, they would. Oh, very interesting. My other question is about Shipwheel Island. Does it exist?
I imagine it still does, because I think that was one of the like biggest thumbs up from the community across the couple seasons, right? I think it was a really well timed out conceit. Yes, sometimes mm-hmm. maybe it was a bit of an edit suck in terms of just like, you know, taking two people away, but I thought it was an interesting opportunity to explore personal edits for these people. And specifically, we need these cross-tribal elements, especially if we're not swapping. Like, this needs to be necessary. Without this, we don't have Liana and Shan coming together last second and, like, you know, every Liana then turning on the Yasa people in such a dramatic fashion. So I think it's essential at this point to the way that they have the game set up. So I imagine it's going to happen. I don't know if it's still going to be the same, okay, risk your vote, you know, save your vote. They may want to change that up, because that's something else that players could prospectively game out, knowing that it's coming. They're not necessarily surprised by it. So I could see them doing different games in a manner of speaking, but I have to imagine, and I hope they keep that cross-tribal element in it, because that is honestly like the best thing we got out of it.
Well, that's why I was asking, because if they don't have that, right, or the players, let's say they tweak Shipwheel Island where they go, but maybe they can't really interact as much or something like that, that would also sort of force this stick with what you know mentality, versus with 41 and 42, they did have the opportunity to reach across the aisle to meet and connect with other people and to sort of make game plans once they got to the merge. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, and if it does ultimately end up influencing how tight these tribes are going into the merge.
Listen, to all you Survivor 43 players out there, okay, there's a reason Troy Bolton had to skirt the basketball team to try out for the High School Musical. Okay, there's an entire song called Stick to the Status Quo, but that's not the point. It's not better by far to keep things as they are. You've got to reach outside of your comfort zone, because then you're truly breaking free.
No. Stick to the status quo. They've already filmed this season. What do you want them to go back in time and be like, yeah, can you get to a dancing, singing montage the beach?
If only there was the hourglass. Yeah, I'm just imagining, I don't know, what is it? Jesse, like, look at me and what do you see? A man who has been in jail.
I just want to pop, lock, and drop it or whatever. It was like a woman who wants to dance and a dude who wants to bake. Right?
And then there was the third guy, my personal favorite, the Matthew Turner cello stoner type who plays a cello. And my favorite part of that was when he's like, all right, like, what's a cello? And he's making the motion. And the guy goes, a saw. Like, I think you need your eyes checked, man. I don't know. There's a lot of cloudiness in front of you. In no way is that a saw.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Okay, good. Well, we got our requisite High School Musical reference in there, so I think we're doing good on the B&B pacing.
All right, thank God. Check that off the list. Let's take another thing off the list here and go through some of our superlatives for this cast. It'll be a good way to sort of categorize and hopefully get at least our initial thoughts on the vast majority, if not all, of these 18 people. Let's start with a tried and true one. We actually talked about, you know, some of the stuff that comes out of Shipwheel Island, including our now requisite personal segments, right? Where we see photos from home, footage from home. People go into their backstory, sometimes tragic, sometimes inspiring, sometimes both. Liana, looking at these 18 people, who do you think is most likely to have a personal segment this season?
First of all, I have stick to the status quo stuck in my head, so I appreciate that. All right, so for me, the personal segment, especially now after these past two seasons, it's not so much are they going to get one, it is when are they going to get one, and will they be the first person to get one? So that was the criteria that I went off of. So the two people that I had, the first is Carla, because she's in the previews giving that beach confessional about how, yeah, I guess there's nothing that I wouldn't do to win the game. I feel like that could easily segue into, and this is why I'm playing this way, and this is my history, and this is where I want to go in the game. And because it's a beach confessional, she's super clean, so she's not dirty, so I can tell she hasn't been out there for very long. That makes me feel like
or she's not doing anything around camp.
That is also true, which, you know, we've got some workhorses who might have a problem with that. So she should just stick to the status quo. Oh, no. That was my first gut.
Yeah. Okay. Carla, can you work on that wood? Do you have a saw?
Usaw.
I think it's the way the kid says it too. Yeah. It's really funny.
They didn't know what they were doing. They were filming in Utah. No. Like, yeah, sure, Jeremy. Yeah. You just say it like that. It doesn't matter. This is some dinky Disney Channel original movie. Nobody's going to watch this.
Yeah, exactly. No one cares about this.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Carla also has this really great story right about personal triumph, working her way out of a low income household, getting this like incredibly prestigious scholarship. And she just seems like a personality. But I mentioned him before. I think for me, number one with a bullet has to be Jesse Lopez.
Yeah.
How many times have we heard this story? It was mentioned on the 43 preview. I've seen it in the trailers as well. It's in his video. Like, this is a true rags to riches story, right? Going from being in a gang in juvenile hall, nearly going behind bars, to then, you know, getting behind a desk and getting his PhD. Like, that is one of the most uplifting survivor stories that I have ever heard. And so I can imagine he is really going to be like that first person they go to. Otherwise, this is going to be one of those things, much like the infamous Potato Gate situation from 42, that we're just going to be sitting on waiting for it to inevitably happen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that he was someone who stood out immediately. He was one of the first videos that CBS put out. He's, you know, kind of all over the place. And his really interesting story is definitely what makes that resonate. He was the other person that I had. I said I mentioned two. He was the other person. Also, he defended his PhD 3 days before flying out to film, which I can't even imagine that feeling. Also, he bought a house. I need to talk to him about how he managed to get a PhD and buy a house, because I need to learn his financial planning skills. So, Jesse, hit me up on Twitter.
That's interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think about that, about, you know, the fact that he was able to buy a house while also getting his PhD.
Yeah,
because like papers do not necessarily wallpaper a brand new house.
No. And he has kids. Like, I'm very impressed. I'm so excited to see him play. He was somebody who, when you were going through the interview and we were hearing him speak, and then you were reading the bio or the bio that was put out, that cockiness just didn't match at all. So I'm so happy that you mentioned it felt a little bit like putting it on a little bit for, you know, the casting process.
Yeah, right. So, if you recall, people out there, he was the one, right, that was like, you know, whether I'm playing with 4-time players or newbies, I'm going to be the best strategist on the beach. Definitely, again, those Spencer Bledsoe, Jordan Parhar-esque vibes of like, okay, let me purposely play up cockiness to be able to like get myself to pop.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I didn't get that feeling at all whatsoever from the actual interview. The fact that he spent the majority of it talking about his family and his kids and how even the players that he, what, you know, appreciated, like I think Tony and Jeremy were the two, that it was because of their commitment to family. And so that person just felt completely different than what was in the bio. But I'm way more excited about the person in the interviews. So if that's actually him, I can't wait to see him play.
Yeah, we've got Dr. Jesse and Mr. Lopez, I suppose. So we'll see which PhD he is.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonder Water. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From Raspberry Lemon Lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing Cherry and Palavo Pineapple Mango, Bai has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Bai. It's Wonder Water. Learn more about Bai and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbai.com.
So now we go to the other side of the spectrum, most likely to get a purple edit. Now, let me typify this, Liana, with an initial question. Are we going to get a purple edit? Because memorably, and this was recently brought up by somebody who I think did like a really nice visualization of the edits across all Survivor seasons, including South Africa and Australia, Survivor 42 across like nearly what, like 50 seasons of Survivor is the most evenly edited season of all time. And so I believe we spoke about this with Allie, right? Of like maybe comparatively who will be the most purple. I guess initially, even before we broach that subject, Do you think they're going to continue that editing trend? I know there's still a little bit of like tinfoil hats of, okay, the editors saw that 41 people were angry about what happened with Heather, and so they decided to make things more even. Could be a bit of like the tail wagging the dog of, okay, this cast was so good in 42 that they felt like they could go to everybody. Which season between 41 and 42 do you think 43's edit will resemble more?
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be more like 41. I think with 42, okay, let me reset. Okay, if I'm editing together a television show, I'm trying to make the most entertaining product. And if I have two confessionals side by side of two people, one is incredibly entertaining and has been delivering all season, and the other person is fine, of course I'm going to lean towards the person who is more entertaining and more exciting. And at the moment, I haven't gotten that, like, everybody really pops off the page from this cast. And maybe in the confessionals, when they actually get out there, we'll get a little bit more about them and, you know, we'll be able to see more personality. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping it's more like 42, but based on just initial impressions, I feel like it's going to be more like 41. But also, given the backlash to 41, then potentially, you know, that mentality hopefully will continue for the editing. But at the same time, they're going to want to pick the people who are entertaining. So,
yeah, it's really tough. I'm of a couple minds as well, because I would love to see it continue. One of the reasons why I really love 42 so much, because it really did truly feel like we got to know every person. Everyone had some sort of story out there. But how cast dependent is that, to your point?
Right.
And not to malign 43 in any way. But again, I feel like 42, there was this distinct sense of like, okay, everyone is so uniquely different, whereas maybe some people end up kind of blended together in a certain way, which leads me, I think, to my pick. And let me also say again, this is done with like a bit of heavy heartedness because I don't want anyone to get a purple edit. But I'm looking at this group and I went with Justine Brennan, the cybersecurity sales, because I think, for me, and you heard this over the course of the podcast, like I actually got a very high opinion of Justine as I was talking it through, just given her skill set and mentality and everything. But I do think on paper, it might not necessarily pop. And I actually see her in a very similar position as like Lindsay from last season, who was probably going into the merge the only purple player, right? There was a lot of hashtag where's Lindsay stuff, and she obviously grows on her own over the course of the season, and specifically in the post-merge. So I could see a very similar trajectory for Justine, where maybe she's not popping as much in the pre-merge, maybe in the post-merge is where she has time to shine, perhaps finishing in the middle of the merge, perhaps even making it to the finale, hell, maybe even end up winning. But just due to the comparison to the other contestants around her, her edit might not shine as much comparatively.
Mm-hmm. I think we were thinking along similar lines. And this is like so tough for me because as a white collar girly myself, I'm so excited that there's a lot of women that I feel I can relate to and that I feel like I could, you know, root for in the season. But the producers, I think, are going to want to include a bunch of different perspectives. And if there are similar viewpoints or, you know, similar angles coming from women like Justine, like Janine, and like Ellie, you know, I don't know if that's all going to blend together and they're going to end up picking one of the women to just unfortunately not get as much screen time. I had said Janine as the one for me that stood out, but
that was my second choice as well. It also doesn't help that like their names sound the same too.
I know. I actually thought for a second I had miswritten one of their names because I have them written down. I was like, wait, are there two people? Oh yeah. We're okay. For the men, I thought maybe James could be the one that falls under that slot. Because to me, he felt, which is wild to say that a chess prodigy seems the most like, quote unquote, normal out of the group. But he could be someone who falls a little bit to the wayside, which, by the way, have you heard about all that chess drama with the guy that like cheated and stuff?
No. What is this? Like a professional chess player cheated?
Okay, yeah. So there was like this guy who was like a grandmaster. He's never lost. He's amazing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He ends up playing this one guy and loses to the guy. So then the grandmaster pulls out of the chess tournament And then a bunch because and he's like, he tweets something that like, I can't say anything. If I said anything, I'd get in trouble. Ooh. So then a bunch of speculation happens about the kid who beat him and whether or not he was using some type of AI device or something to cheat. And then like chess.com comes out and is like, yeah, this guy has cheated before, but how would he cheat in person, like versus on a computer? I'm not very knowledgeable on the subject, but the fact that the chess world has drama makes me very excited.
I mean, yeah, talk about like almost like the Dark Lord Sauron invading Hobbiton, right? Like the the most serene sports world, the last untouched patch of earth that has no drama on it in terms of, again, competitive sports now has drama in it. Honestly, I'm surprised it hadn't come sooner. Though, like, I don't know, you're playing chess against computer players as well. There's the whole Watson thing that mm-hmm. happened. Like, I feel like... Is this the only time truly that someone has cheated in chess? I think this is the first time someone maybe got caught cheating in chess.
But I think the question is that it's not the online cheating makes more sense, but the cheating in person, that's like the question. So then there was a joke about he had anal beads and they were like buzzing to time. It's like gone off the rails. It's amazing.
Wait,
I need mess magnets to cover this.
Okay, so it's that they had like what? Like he had a bug in his butt, essentially, and that there were anal beads. And like, okay, vibrate once to move your queen one space forward.
Right. So because I think that's the question, right? Is how do you cheat if you how do you cheat at chess in person? Right. You need something that tells you the moves to make. So it's an earpiece, could be one. But I guess he didn't have an earpiece. So then what is it? Is it like a buzz in the shoe?
Mm.
You know, someone across the room
yeah,
giving like
doing
hand
like
signals,
little hand like, signals. Yeah, like a third base coach or something like that. Or psychic? Is it if you're a psychic, if you're a precog, is it cheating if you use your powers?
I don't know, because it's not like you're using performance enhancing drugs to make yourself that way, right? Like it's just inherent to who you are and you shouldn't necessarily be punished for having the extra abilities. Maybe you would compete in a different division.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like if it's just a natural acceleration of your skills, it's not like you purposely put something within yourself to give yourself the psychic powers.
Like Usain Bolt, right? I mean, he is genetically superior in terms mm-hmm. of his running ability. Michael Phelps, right? He's got that, you know, the increased lung capacity, the wingspan, all that jazz. So I think they would allow him to compete.
I would imagine so. Maybe so. Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens and whether the anal beads are indeed discovered. Okay.
Yeah, you should ask James about it if you get the opportunity to talk to him again.
Yeah, if I get an interview, like James, first question, have you heard about what's been going on with these bug anal beads? I'm not even going to ask stay in chess, just in general.
I think he didn't act, just to clarify, I'm pretty sure he didn't actually have anal beads, but that's just the rumor.
Of course, that's the first place you naturally jump to. For men, I perhaps had an interesting choice here for perhaps most purpled. I went with, speaking of anal beads, Cody Ossenmacher. Because he gives me such Seabass energy, and Seabass was one of the most purple players in the entirety of Ghost Island. I know that's a little bit of a race to the bottom given the edits of some of those other people, but he was like such a random under the radar non-entity for so much of it. I don't think that's the case with Cody. It seems like at least Cody in the pregame stuff wants to talk about playing a very active role and causing that chaos, but I could see something where especially if Vessi ends up winning out and he just wants to settle back up. Yeah, I'm just going to go out and catch fish, that they might use him for sound bites, but otherwise they're not someone they're going to go to for a lot of strategy talk.
Yeah, who would have thought the guy with a butt tattoo, a mullet and lightning bolts carved into his hair would be the one falling into the background? I think it's definitely possible that he's kind of just shows up with like the one liners every once in a while, right? Doesn't actually get that much content, but they just pop him in to have some interesting quote. I'm just hoping that we can settle the butt tattoo debate because I need to know the answer.
I think we've got a little bit of something shed on us because, Liana, have you seen the title for episode one of Survivor 43?
Oh my gosh, no, what is it?
It is, in all caps, LIVIN, living. And so I think the mystery has been solved here. Unlike the cheating anal bead chess conspiracy, I think this is a one solved mystery, that because the big question, right, was like, okay, what does Cody have tattooed in there? Is it an entire phrase? Is it just a word? And I think it is just the word "living," which raises for me even further questions in terms of the choice of tattoo.
Oh my gosh, I really want to see it. Is there any pictures anywhere? Do you think he's posted a picture on social media of it?
I don't know how that'll get past any sort of standards and practices.
Well, I guess it depends where on his butt. Like, is it on the outside of the cheek? Is it on the inside of the cheek?
Or is it like a tramp stamp? Is it above the butt? Does that count as the butt?
Oh, is it a tramp stamp? I can't decide if I think that's better or worse.
I like it because then the V in living, right, would just point directly down to the ass crack.
Yes. Okay. So just checked his Instagram. No photo of the tattoo. However, his bio says "get busy living" in all caps or "get busy dying." So
wait,
I think it's what?
Did he just steal a phrase from the Shawshank Redemption and co-opted it into tattooing it on his butt?
I'm pretty sure the whole phrase is not tattooed, as we've discussed, but I do think "living" is what he has tattooed. So LIVIN in all caps.
Do you think this will eventually turn out to be, remember when Tori did T-Game in her preseason, right? Like when she did an acronym. Do you think "living" is something like that for Cody?
Ooh, maybe. He didn't explain it though. So at least with Tori in the preseason, we got a little hint as to what one of them stood for, right? So maybe he'll explain in the first episode. Again, this is the most pressing matter when it comes to the 43 cast. So I'm hoping that this is covered in detail.
All right, next up. Most likely to flip on their number one ally. Liana, who's the flip-flopper in this group?
All right, I went back and I looked. How many times did people talk about being deceitful or being willing to lie? And I had Sammy as the number one person that talked about being willing to be deceitful and being willing to lie. Now, here's the thing. I think Sammy is very willing to turn on his ally. I don't know if that will go well for Sammy, but I think he's willing to do it. And that's why I'm going to give him the superlative.
Any thoughts about perhaps the most interesting job title of this entire cast in Sammy as pet cremator?
Oh my gosh. I was like, is that real? That's so sad. I couldn't imagine having that job. I guess props to him for being willing to do it. For me, it was like, the interview I was reading, okay, pet creamer. Oh my gosh, that's such a weird job. But then the reason why him and his friends all started watching Survivor again, because they hated John Rocker, immediately superseded the pet cremator title. So I was over that within, a couple minutes.
Yeah, considering, again, this dude was like 14 years old or something, and he was still so driven by his hatred of John Rocker that he's like, I better start checking out this show.
I mean, to each their own. I think that's a very interesting motivation. I mean, it brought him here, so.
Yeah, I went with Gio here, and I think Gio is sort of in a similar mode as Sammy in that, like, I don't know how well that might work out for him, though. Spoil a bit, tease a bit of what's coming up for Pod Survivor Podcast, Liana. I did have someone that you are going to be drafting with reach out to me and be like, y'all are too low on Gio. Gio is one of my people that I'm going in with. So I'm not going to put Chappelle. The name out there, but try to read, I don't know, read them the best and see if maybe you could poach them if you have a good spot in the draft. But I do think he has this idea of like, play, absolute balls to the wall, right? This idea of a survivor makes you embrace your insecurities. I'm going to live out here. I'm going to love out here. Hopefully I'll laugh out here as well. And I just think the mischievousness that he brought to, and the energy specifically. I mean, hell, the very first thing he does in my interview with him is lie about his age and age himself a decade younger. So I think that to me almost lays a pathway for, if you can lie about this, what else are you going to lie about?
Ugh, yes, exactly. He's next level. I thought he was extremely charismatic in the interview. And that is, I feel like now I've done drafts for a little bit. What always to me seems to be the biggest indicator of whether or not they would do well is like, do I enjoy listening to them? Like, do I just, I don't even, whatever words they're saying, fine, whatever, who cares? I just like, do I get the vibe? Like, do I just really like the vibe of they feel personable? I feel like I would want to be around them. And Gio was someone who definitely had that for me. He talks about having like a lot of his insecurities before the pandemic, but he seems now to be in a really good spot. And I mean, he didn't come to play. He came to slay.
Yes.
Okay. So anyone
Jay
who quotes
Coulet.
Jay Coulet quoting Beyonce, I'm here for that. And I think that, God, I hope he's able to make it a little bit further, because I am nervous for him on this Tribe, but because of his charisma, I think that that's going to help him, and he could insulate himself well to potentially go deep into the game.
That's a really valid point, I think, about just this new era of Survivor. And again, as Jeff himself told me, two seasons can almost be too small of a sample size, but I think both of our winners that we've had so far are people that you talk to or talk with, and you just like get a good feeling from them.
Yes.
You know, and it's a little apples and oranges, because obviously, again, they're in an interview setting. They're not even talking to me directly. So like, there might not be that warmth that you would experience playing with them actually on the island. But I do think with both Erica and Marianne, you get a lot of good vibes mm-hmm. about them. And I think that translates to the game proper when other people were getting good vibes about them. So I hope that carries over with Gio, that maybe helps overwrite some of the more wily, squirrely things that he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And maybe once he gets out there and he's got a couple challenges, he's a little bit more tired, maybe he'll stop running his wheels so much, because I definitely don't want him to overplay. And the fact that he's the one who resigned from his job in order to be here. So I kind of feel like there's this energy of, I have to do everything. I'm going to throw everything at the wall and see if it sticks. I don't know if that's necessarily the best gameplay always. So just toning that down potentially a little bit could help him as well.
All right. Most likely to start a podcast, parentheses, and what would that podcast be about or named? I looked no further than someone who, yes, podcasting is an audio medium, but who visually popped the most. I had to go with Mariah as the chalk pick here, just because if we're talking about vibrant personalities, she has that in spades. Again, not entirely sure how that's going to translate to the game, but she is just someone that I want to listen to. I just want mm-hmm. daily affirmations from Mariah personally to get me to get out of bed every morning. And so if it's just a podcast called Color My World, where it's her talking about the color of the day and like getting you to go on with what you need to do in order to accomplish stuff in a 24-hour period, I'm all for it.
I think that that's a really great pick. I think she was the one who, as you mentioned, maybe not a good sense of the game, but a good sense of who she is. And who she is someone who is just so positive and joyful and loves love. And of course, related to Marianne, because Marianne was so joyful. Mm-hmm. And that was just a through line throughout her entire interview that is just fundamental to who she is. And so having that type of personality behind the mic could be just what a warm hug, you know, to start your day. And of course, it's got to be something with the colors. You have to involve that somehow. I mean, I think she's got the performing arts element to it, so it could be something very creative. I would love to see what she is able to produce. Okay. On my end, I picked Dwight because it would be interviews with the secretaries of state and associated people. So, you know, there's not many secretaries of state who are still alive. We could also re-release his old interviews, right? Because do we actually know who he interviewed, or did you guys just make up that he interviewed Madeleine Albright?
No, in his bio, I think he said Madeleine Albright, Colin Powell, and Condoleezza Rice.
Okay. So he actually listed them. So then let's see, who else do we got? He could interview Hillary Clinton. She's still alive. John Kerry, still alive. William J. Burns, who was Secretary of State for a day.
Oh,
how do you be Secretary of State for a day? Oh, my God. There's this guy named Thomas. Yeah, exactly. He won a really crappy prize. Thomas Shannon, who was Secretary of State for 12. Anyway, whatever. The whole point is there's like 10 whole people he could interview. So that's at least 10 episodes of his podcast.
Plus, the thing is, he already has a podcast voice in that he does talk at double speed.
Oh, my God. I am so thankful that you warned the listeners, because I was, okay, look, I'm not gonna lie, I was listening on 2X, okay? Yeah, I was trying to hustle through them all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
a lot of interviews to get through. And I went to, I slowed it down to 1.75. And even then it was like, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, what? What are you even saying right now? I mean, I think that's an indication his brain just works really quickly. I mean, he seems like a really smart guy. So I had to slow it down so I could actually understand him.
Do you think that'll work out if he continues to bring that cadence into the game for or against them? Could it be like that Seinfeld episode where there's the low talker and to be polite, Jerry accidentally says yes to wearing the pirate shirt on national TV?
I think that's possible. I think that people aren't going to actually maybe listen to the words that he's saying because their brains can't keep up with processing how quickly he's speaking. And so you might agree to something exactly in the same way. You're just like, okay, yeah, sure. Like, that sounds good. Let's do that. And then you don't know what you've agreed to.
Oh yeah. I think we need like an Sphincter Says What moment on Survivor where Dwight just talks so fast. Like, oh, you said you'd betray me. You just told me, you just said yes to it. Therefore I'm going to have to vote you out.
Yeah, exactly. Liar says what?
Huh? Yeah, exactly. So that would be fantastic. Let's move on here. Most likely to have an advantage, screw them over. Liana, who's your choice here?
I feel bad because I already said Dwight, but I'm going to say Dwight again. Because
double dose of Dwight.
He said, wants advantages because it prevents people from targeting you. And it would be just really funny if he gets screwed over by an advantage.
Right. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was he the one that was like, advantages instill fear in people? And that's what he wants to be able to get the advantages for?
Exactly. And the people that had idols all made the merge. So evidence to that fact.
I'm going to go with Noelle here. So Noelle surprises in a bunch of different ways. One of them is she said in my interview that she wanted to look for advantages, but she wanted to be sneaky about it, perhaps much like her idol Kelly Wentworth. I'm not incredibly sure how sneaky you can be on a tribe with six people. I think that goes to show that, you know, some people, I'm trying to think of like the six idols. Was Nasir's the only one that like was truly found in secret? Let's go through it, right? So like the Shan idol, she and Ricard collaborated on. Xander like finds the idol and pretty much tells everyone about it. Nasir kept it relatively secret. Mike
fumbled the phrase.
Got people involved with the idol process, right? The whole paper stuff with Daniel. Drea seemed to have found it on her own, but then like subsequently told people. And then like Marianne and Omer made a concentrated effort to go look for the idol together. So I just think with these small tribes and so many eyes being on you at all times and so many excuses, this is what happens with Tori immediately in 42 of like, oh, they're off on their own, must be looking for an idol. I think if she attempts to look for an advantage, she's going to immediately put a target on her back.
It's interesting, though, now that we go through the other examples of the idols from previous seasons, because, OK, let's say you and your partner go and find an idol, right? And the two of you know about it. The two of you have it. That combination of two people with an idol on a tribe of six is actually extremely powerful. And I think that maybe that's part of the reason why when Dwight was talking about, oh, yeah, it prevents people from targeting you. It's not inherently the idol itself. It's the total amount of power that it has when you, an ally, and on a tribe of six people are really able to, you know, use that to your advantage and feel like, one, you can probably play more confidently because you are like, especially if one person's gone, I mean, you're already 40% of the vote and you have an idol. Like, that's so much power that you could use to control things. So it could be because the social element of telling people about the idol and other people knowing about the idol that gives it the extra power in these super small tribes.
Yeah, the other thing about it is, and I don't know if this is continuing into season 43, right? The beware advantage aspect. This idea of until all three idols are activated, you don't have your vote. That inspires a lot of collusion, right? Because like, if you don't have a vote, what are you going to do? If people come to you like, okay, this is the plan. And you're like, okay, I guess I'll vote this way. And then when it's only five votes in the urn, then there's a lot of questions, just like we saw again at that Vati infamous unprecedented tribal council. You have to, I think, keep someone in the know, because not only will that person be able to work around that, they can also protect you as well. If they know that you don't have a vote to possibly save yourself, they can try to work the numbers away from you to be able to make sure you survive with that idol despite not having a vote.
Yeah, I was thinking about it that they would have their votes because we don't, I mean, I'm going to bring back the secret phrases. That's really tough for them to do because, you know, they've done it twice and they've seen the phrases now. So,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's like a gesture now or Ooh. Like do something in this challenge, perhaps. Yeah, exactly. Like do a do a hand signal or something.
Do a handstand in the middle of the challenge to activate your idol.
I don't know what Jesse's doing. He's doing a handstand in the middle of this challenge. Everyone's like, oh my God, this is it. That's his idol gesture.
That's the signal. Yeah. Okay, so you know how there are people who would wait to hear like if the other phrases were said? I'm just imagining an all out like tumbling circus that happens because like one person does it and then the other people are like, oh, I gotta do mine. And so they're out there doing cartwheels and somersaults.
But then you have other people covering like remember like Ricard was like, okay, I have this cover for Shan, like I'll say it just so like she doesn't have to say it. So then you have a bunch of people trying to do like herkies, even though they're not the ones doing the idol phrases to help their allies out.
Yeah, it's a regular Cirque du Soleil out there in Fiji.
Do you have any ideas for? Oh, yeah, you're sorry. You already did the advantage person. The other one I could possibly think of is maybe someone like Owen. We haven't talked a lot about Owen, someone I know who is like very much favored by the fan base. Again, on paper, a lot of good things about him. But doesn't that always end up happening that these people who seem like they have everything going their way end up getting the most screwed by advantages?
Oh my God. Okay. I'm so hesitant to talk about Owen right now because we have the draft coming up.
Oh yeah.
And I don't want to like spill anything. But like, so so Owen was the Tulane or is still working at Tulane in the admissions office and was when I was there and we have had coffee and have had the opportunity to chat.
Whoa!
And so I have been able to meet him in person. So when you're talking about, oh, the interviews, I wasn't there, you know, it could be even more warm and bubbly in person. Owen is incredibly charismatic and like so nice and so kind and so friendly and so fun. And I was so excited when I saw his name get dropped in the rumored cast. And so to have him here just brings my heart joy. And I will murder you, Chappelle, if you draft him before me. I'm just saying.
Wow. Shots fired. Yes. Look at this. I think this is this may be a B&B first that we have met someone prior to them going out to Survivor?
I think so. Now, okay. Now, obviously, he's fun. He's friendly. Great guy. So yes, he will get screwed over. And yes, he will go up re-merge and I will be sad. But for the time being, I'm very high on his chances. I think a lot of people also got really great vibes from him. I loved how self-aware he was in the interview where he said, you know, like, yeah, look, I know I look like Wu, especially with this long hair. And I'm having to play against these negative stereotypes. I think Janine also talked about that with being perceived as, you know, being very sneaky and very smart. And so the first start to combat those stereotypes is to be aware of them. And I love that from them. So I hope he doesn't get screwed over. God,
we have to put in our chalk pick, right? Of like who is, you know, who's our Jenny Kim, who's the pick for somebody who just ends up screwing, not even by like their own advantages, but by perhaps a bunch of other advantages being played or people not having votes. So we're putting it out there so we set our expectations low so that they will hopefully be superseded.
Yes. Okay, I'm good with that.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, final superlative for this cast. It's a new one. Most likely to get memed by the fan base. Because I do feel like last season in particular, a lot of meminess going on. I think a lot of it does stem from like your Zach Wurtenbergers, right? Who might be one of the most impactful first boots since Ream, of just like between the Marianne stuff and him just like constantly popping up across social media. So I had a pretty big slam dunk here. I think Gabler is going to be like just someone everyone's eyes are drawn to. And I'm sure he has a bunch of kooky things that he's going to say, whether or not it's prompted by finding an idol, that I think there's got to be some sort of meme around him. Hell, make him a turkey. Put the prospector hack on a turkey and call him Gobbler. There's a meme right there.
Already done. Nailed it. Scally, get on that.
Scally, there you go. Make him a turkey. Together.
Yeah, definitely. In listening to his interview, one of my notes to myself was, this guy is wild, LOL, a lot of energy. And that is going to translate on the show. Absolutely. I think he's, who knows what he's going to do out there, but he's such an interesting character. He's on track to be memed for sure.
Do you have any other picks?
The other people that I was thinking, I mean, like I said at the beginning, I think in general, the men are very wackadoo characters. So I feel like Cody, look, he's already got the butt tattoo. Great opportunity. Ryan is literally the sweetest, most adorable thing on the planet. Mm-hmm, he's going to be so cute. I feel like Gio also could be somebody who is, going to have a lot of quotes, right? Even if they are from Drag Race, I'm okay with that making its way to a more general audience. Yeah,
it's all within the same umbrella now, the CBS Viacom umbrella.
that is true. The other person, we know we've already talked about her, but like Mariah, I feel like also could have a lot of good quotes. So I think this season, it's ripe for the memeing.
Yeah, I could see something with, it's tough, like NECA, I feel like has the energy of someone who could like give a good gif and a good line in response to something if she doesn't like something. But I think NECA is coming in with such a positive attitude, right? This idea of like, I want to do this for my children. I want to show that lying and deceiving are not necessarily things you need to do to succeed in the game. That I don't know if we'll get a lot of negative NECA over the course of this season.
I think NECA could also have that, because where, she was the one who was talking about, I don't want to lie. I'm really bad at lying. Where she's got to tell, it's like baby's first lie. And then she kind of like looks at the camera and she's like, ooh. That could be a really cute like little reaction shot, because she's just so sweet and so like, well-meaning. She like, I just want a partner that I trust, and I don't want to lie. I'm like, yes, you're so cute, I love you.
The only other one I could think of is Ellie, because listen, Michelle Fitzgerald has certainly been memed, right? And so it would just come with the shared DNA.
Okay, Ellie was also on my list specifically because it was a video interview, I think, with Dalton Ross. And it was like he like interspersed a bunch of clips together. Yeah. And most people are sitting, in the middle, like centered in front of the camera, looking at the camera, engaging. She's like off in the corner, like kind of like her head is like lower down. And she I just feel like we could get some real Jim from The Office. Sorry, Dwight, to make that reference, shots of her just kind of being like side-eyeing people, just like
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Would you be interested, considering her career path, I would imagine she'd hopefully have more of a poker face.
I don't know, I hope not. She was the first interview I actually listened to. And from the bat I was like, oh wow, she's got such an interesting story and like an interesting character. I'm curious to see her play, and you're pretty high on her too, right?
Yeah, so we'll see if her positioning will be in the same way as her video was in the corner, if she'll be able to make her way to the top of the tribe. So yeah, that's the cast in a nutshell. We gave our thoughts, but Liana, I think more importantly, what do the people on the street think about the cast of Survivor 43?
Yes. Okay. So I have ventured over to the Facebook page for Survivor, which I could tell I was rusty, because when I went to the Facebook page, I typed facebook.com/r/survivor. I was going to Reddit.
Mixing like, up now, everything's just flowing together. It's the metaverse, right? It'll all eventually join the same streams flowing into one big ocean. Yeah.
It's all the same, right? Look, I feel like there wasn't a lot to work with. Okay, I'm not gonna lie.
Interesting.
I pulled some nuggets, but the Facebook group is really kind of sucks sometimes. Especially we've talked about this, about them, not everybody, because there are a lot of really funny, like really great people and comments and things on the page. However, there is a shift in sort of the general majority, a lot of complaining about the wokeness of Survivor and, the direction that Survivor has taken. I definitely got the feeling that, you know how the right has "Let's go, Brandon" is like the insult to Joe Biden. It was like, "Come on in, guys," is like their version of "Let's go, Brandon."
Oh,
that they like to comment, "Come on in, guys." You know, like that kind of stuff.
That is, I'm just imagining now, like rallies of people holding up signs to say, "Come on in, guys."
Yeah, it's the Survivor crowd's version of "Let's go, Brandon."
So. It's like their secret signaling, right? Of like, okay, I'm vibing with what you're vibing with. You said, "Come on in, guys," and I am ready to come on in.
Yeah. That being said, I still think that there were definitely some really fun and interesting thoughts to take apart here. So I have two different types of questions. The first two are just some, you know, just some general thoughts, our traditional A, B, C, D answers. I'm going to read you four total comments. One of them was written by me. Three were from the casuals. And then it's up to you to guess which one was written by moi. So let's just dive right on in. So here's some general thoughts to Survivor, because they posted on Facebook like a general cast preview, which was, I think, essentially the same video from the end of 42. Then they posted another one that was like a meet the cast where they actually cycled through the whole cast, just a brief little snippet of everybody. And now they're posting the individual videos. So these comments were all on sort of the big picture videos. Okay. Comment A. I stopped watching because it's all drama and no actual surviving. Given food and water, it's dirty drama camping.
Dirty drama camping. CBS, put that into production this second.
Is that not a fantastic show title? Ooh. I was like, I would watch the shit out of Dirty Drama Camping.
DDC, get it.
DDC. All right, comment B. Not a very hearty looking bunch.
What is this, a stew?
I don't know. I just made me think of the Hardy Boys. So or the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, that could be something. I'm like, not a lot of mystery solving in this group. Not a lot of sleuths.
Get on those mysteries. Okay, comment C. I'd like to see a cast consisting of all non-swimmers. The water challenges will be great reality TV.
Are you encouraging drowning, sir / madam?
Yeah, I think she's just like, I enjoy when people drown. So let's do that.
I watch from my unfinished basement lair with no windows.
Mm-hmm. All right. Your final comment, comment D. This better not be a lame season. Otherwise, I will go back to watching C-SPAN.
That's third the person's let's go like, oh, you said C? Oh, C-SPAN. Damn it.
CB. Oh, okay. Too many letters off.
C-SPAN. I don't know if that is like a legitimate comment. Is that like a take on a joke of like, oh no, C-SPAN's boring, and this would be even more boring than C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm. I think that's my guess. I think it's like, it's so boring that I'd rather watch C-SPAN. Like, it's so lame.
I don't know. Maybe Dwight loves C-SPAN. Considering, I don't know how many secretaries of state have shown up on C-SPAN.
Do you think Jesse watches C-SPAN? Also, is the
Oh, that's interesting.
Political scientist.
If you have to talk about like the vote minutia, I guess you'd have to get some requisite hours in on C-SPAN.
I think it's how the general populace votes, not how the senators vote. But we could ask him about that. Again, most important questions. Yeah, that and the butt tattoo.
Number one. Hey, what's going on with the anal beads? I don't know if you know about this, Jesse, but there's a chess controversy. B, what's going on with Cody's butt tattoo? Three, how much C-SPAN do you watch? I have to ask those three questions as the first questions for every single person that exits Survivor 43.
Yeah. Throw away what kind of soup are you? We have more pressing questions.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be my question for Survivor 45 is like, if you could smuggle in anal beads to get a former player to communicate information to you, who would it be and why?
Yeah. Can you think of a creative way to use anal beads to cheat at chess?
Yeah, and then really just like, that's the ultimate creative exercise, right? That's the taskmaster task I want to see.
I mean, we talk about fake idols and fake advantages, you know, so it's like, it's similar vein, right?
Yeah. Oh, you're wearing, oh, what happened to your necklace? You don't want to know.
Oh. I'm excited for that era of Survivor when we get there. But
yeah, the immunity necklace now. Phase. Definitely bring a new use to it. Okay, so we have surviving, like, it's not surviving.
Dirty drama camping.
Pretty drama.
Not a very hearty looking bunch.
People should drown. Yeah. C-SPAN.
C-SPAN. Yes.
I'm going to say, God, dirty drama camping is such a fantastic phrase that, like, I'm going to will it to existence that you wrote it. So I'm going to say A.
Ah, gosh, I wish I had written that. No, that was a real comment. No, I wrote the C-SPAN comment. I don't know what it means. I just wrote it.
I love it. I'm just like, yeah, we'll throw a C-SPAN. I mean, listen, we know the casuals love to attempt jokes. And look, I'm throwing a rock in my glass house about how many jokes I personally succeed on that I make. And so I always love when it doesn't exactly translate to the page. So it did seem like the realm of reality. You're passing the Turing test right now.
It's the best part of this is that I get to write the jokes that I probably would have said anyway, but I get to pass it off as like, yeah, haha, that's so stupid, right? Ha ha. Uh-oh. All right. So here's your next question. So these are all on the, so one of the promotional materials was that like Meet the Cast video where I will just tell you, they really hated specifically because of the graphic design. Okay. So the top comment on the video with 555 likes was yellow letters on a sand background really sucks. So every comment is about that.
Really? So, about the yellow on sand?
I can't. Okay, here are some other ones that didn't make the cut. I can't see their names. That color font is too light. The yellow lettering is brilliant, which I assume is supposed to be sarcastic. Did you really want us to meet them? We can't see their names. Orange text? Question mark. Like, literally every comment was, I can't read this.
I love this. Just like someone at the movie theater being like, focus!
Exactly. Change the lighting. Okay, so here are the actual, this is your actual question again. Okay. All about the lettering. Okay, comment A, we're supposed to be meeting the castaways, yet you flash an imperceptible orange graphic that is impossible to read and is up for 3.1 seconds. Awesome. Not.
Oh, he got him through, Borat.
Oh, nailed it.
Okay, so,
us. Yes, that's right. Oh, no, I'm typing somehow.
Wait, what?
Okay, wait, hold on. Sorry.
Wait, you're ghost typing?
Yeah, I don't know. Somehow I hit. I'm sorry. This is like, I'm not in my normal setup. This is a complete disaster. Whoa, there's like cables everywhere. I know. It typed. It also typed. Ooh. So.
Oh, the ghost is typing.
The Ouija board is here. Okay, that was comment number A, the whole thing. comment B is, are you reading this, graphics geeks? C, I cannot read.
Oh no. I'm so sorry. That's a larger concern than I think these poor people at CBS will be able to help you with.
Like Leah Michelle, I cannot read. Okay.
Tell me not to read.
just spelling putta. Okay, B. Hard to read. Graphic artist, not very smart.
Okay, well, that I think that person might have a struggle with grammar and syntax. I think a caveman writer wrote that last part. Oh boy. So okay, I love this. So we have that entire extended sequence, right, with not at the end of it. We have which one was B again?
Are you reading this, graphics geeks?
Graphics geeks. C was I can't read, and D was Og the caveman insulting the graphics. I'm gonna go with graphics geeks, and I'm gonna go with B.
Okay, you're going with B. This is not true, but I wrote I cannot read. I can read. Okay, guys.
Yeah, considering that you wrote this, unless this was dictated to your secretary.
Yeah, I love that voice to text thing on your phone. Yeah. I just, you know,
I cannot read.
I cannot read.
I just imagine going onto every Facebook page and just posting that.
Yeah, I should start. I see. The thing is like sometimes I think of stuff and I'm always tempted to comment it, but then I can't use it in the game because technically it is a comment on the casuals Facebook page. So, all right, great. That's all we got for their general thoughts that were not the season is too woke. So let's move on to some of the individual videos. So the next couple statements, you're going to have to guess which Survivor contestant this was written about. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So we got a couple of these that'll help us get a sense of how they're feeling about the cast individually. So let's start with comment number one. Hell yeah. Finally, someone who is willing to play the game and not be all sucky and fake. Clap emoji, I think.
Okay, not, so not it's the two, prayer it's hands, not prayer, but it's two hands like coming together. Like Nicole Kidman in that GIF, right? With where she doesn't let her fingers touch.
Well, I mean, we don't really have that perspective, but sure. Yes.
All right. Someone who's willing to play the game and not be all sucky. Now I'm trying to remember the videos and specifically how they like countered or were companions to the interviews. God. Take a little shot in the dark here. I'll reach in this bag. I'm going to say Sammy.
All right. This was a tough one. This was Carla.
Okay.
This comment was about. So I'm excited about that. I was a little nervous for her reception. But it seems that like there were definitely some positive comments about Carla and people seemed, you know, somewhat excited about her. So good for Carla. Although I don't know.
She won't be sucky like those other players.
Yeah, not all sucky and fake. Okay, here's comment number two. Young man, you might want to slow your roll with the cockiness. If not, you will be gone in 2 weeks.
I didn't realize the village people were commenting on the casual post. Young man.
Young man.
Don't be cocky.
Yeah, what is it? L-I-V-I-N.
It's on your butt. It's L-I-V-I-N.
Yes.
All right. So this, see, Sammy would be the slam dunk here, the slammy dunk. But I don't, like, Dwight could be another one. Those are the two I'm vacillating between. I don't know. I think it's got to be Sammy. Sammy, I think, had the most bravado in his video saying he was going to be the youngest survivor winner ever.
That is correct. Yes. So Sammy is a young man, which actually, you know, now that we talk about the village people, there's actually not a lot of blue collar village people workers. So
there's the construction worker. I don't know.
No, I mean, there are blue collar, like it's a policeman and the construction worker, but not in the season.
Oh, I don't think there are a lot of white collar people in the village people. Like there's not like an accountant.
the accountant, the UX designer. No, I forgot about them.
No, they're very much, if they were on a Survivor season, they just all make up the blue collar tribe.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, wait. Sorry. Okay. This is comment number three. Yeah. Anyone else getting Wanda Shirk vibes from her?
I mean, the answer is no to any of these 18 players. I am Wanda Shirk vibes.
I spit out my water when I read the comment.
The default that I would have to go with would be somebody like Lindsay because she's an older woman. However, this isn't even apples and oranges. This is like apples and desks in terms of like how comparable they are. I might just have to go with optics and go with Lindsay.
Mariah.
I could see that in terms of like the singing, maybe.
I guess in terms of the general attitude, maybe is where they were getting that. But yes, that was on the video, Mariah's video.
Well, we know that Wanda was also infamous for like her dress, right, that she wore as she was leaving the game. Mariah, I don't think Mariah's wearing the rainbow parachute dress into the game. I would love it, though, because, you know, if she lasts 26 days, like just how disgusting that thing would look by the end of it.
I would love to see what happens to each of the colors, like if some of the colors continue to shine through, but the other ones get dirty. I don't know. Could be interesting. OK, comment number four. Rooting for her all the way. She is the fifth contestant to have the same birthday as me.
Everyone has their reasons, I suppose. All right. The fifth contestant to have the same birthday as me. So now I need to think about like, what is Survivor birthday Twitter account tweeting out? Is there a day where a lot of players were born?
Yeah, that was the most interesting thing to me was the fact that there are five contestants that have the same birthday that have played Survivor.
All right. I'm going to go. God, this is just so it's she, right? That's what they said.
Yes, that's your hint, because I thought there's no way you're going to get this. So at least you've narrowed it down.
Oh boy. And I don't really know anybody's birthday. And I don't want to take like a deep dive into the Survivor Wiki to like then parse out, okay, what's the natural month of conception and how does that factor into birthdays?
So, you know, sort by birthday. Is that a thing? Is that a column?
I don't think sort by birthday is anything.
No, you know, like it's my white collar and it's coming through on the Excel sheet. You just, you know, sort by birthday.
Let me go with NECA.
All right. It is Noel.
Oh, okay.
Now I don't know what her birthday is.
All right. Well, now we can at least narrow it down. So according to the Survivor Wiki, Noel Lambert's birthday is January 24th, 1997.
Okay, January 24th.
All right.
Okay, I made the mistake of Googling Survivor birthday, and it came up nope. with a bunch of Survivor birthday party themes.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, cakes that have crappy nailed-in versions yeah. of the icon.
That is correct. Oh, my God, there's a bunch of pictures of people doing, like, backyard challenges of Survivor. This is actually kind of legit. I love this.
I think we've talked about Survivor birthday parties before, have we not? I feel like we've had to at some point.
Probably. I'm sure. All right, anyway. Two more comments to go. Comment number five is, I'm getting Alice the Goon vibes from him.
Oh, God.
I had to Google Alice the Goon because
it's a reference
that
I'm aware of. It's from Popeye, I believe, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Jesus Christ. What is this thing?
Yes. Well, I think like she's a member of. She's a goon, a member of the tribe of strange humanoids that live on Goon Island. She serves as the leader of her people, which is pretty dope. Apparently, they all look the same. Was a source of much calamity for Popeye when he first met her as a foe. But since their first encounter, Alice has become one of Popeye's closest friends and allies.
Okay, well, good. We love allies. All right.
Who do you think who looks like this?
All right, I have to show this. This is what Alice the Goon looks like for people that are watching the video. Like, just to like do a bit of like an Issa look. Like, I love the dress and I love the cinch, right? Like hourglass figure.
Yeah.
But good God, do I not want to smash that? I think, you know,
smash or pass. Not a Popeye the Sailor card characters.
Yeah, wearing like ruffs essentially on the forearms, got a little bit of the odd knobbly elbows, and got a big old honking ding dong for a nose, plus eyes that make me look like I've been up for 48 hours straight. I'm not going to bed anytime soon. Woof.
I like the little hat. The little crown hat.
So looks like Alice the Goon. Oh, God. I'm going to go with, and sorry, were there any pronouns listed in this comment?
Let me see. Him.
I think it's got to be Gabler, no?
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's not a direct comparison. I still say that I think he feels like a distant cousin of like Mike Barassi. But I think there's no way he resembles Alice the Goon.
Yeah, no. Also, I'm still stuck on the Smash or Pass idea for Popeye the Sailor characters. So I'll talk to Puya. He's a TikTok expert now. I'll talk to him about getting
smash
that
the shit out of Bluto. I want Bluto to wreck me.
He is, yeah. I mean, man.
I need to like down a bunch of cans of spinach by the time I'm done with Bluto to replace all those vitamins lost.
Do you think they have abnormally large forearms on a lot of the Popeye characters? Do you think that's like a genetics thing, or do you think is it like solely due to the spinach?
Could it be that like they live in near the water, so there, or maybe they live like underwater and there's this like odd pressurized situation, right? Sort of like when people are up in space for a while, they experience like bone density loss that like it reshapes their arms.
Yeah, but only for the forearms?
Yeah, only for the forearms. I'm not entirely sure. Either that or they're just like really hitting the gym, but there's such limited equipment left.
Yeah, I mean, you know what they say, never skip forearm day. So Anyway, the other comment. So the another idea that I had for a game was to compare Twitter, Reddit and Facebook.
Is that why you put r/survivor in there?
Maybe. It didn't end up materializing into anything, but there was one comment from Twitter that really made me laugh that was about Gabler as well, which was, it's like if Frenchie went to med school, we stan.
Finishing off with "We Stand" is perfect. If Frenchie goes to med school, sounds like the Frenchie, like an Ernest series of films, right? Like Frenchie scared stupid. Frenchie saves Christmas. Frenchie goes to med school.
Frenchie gets trapped in a Coke facility.
Oh my God. Just imagine that. I don't know what to do about this dang old blood around there all the time. I'm used to getting my hands covered in blood, but it is ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Remember the I Love New York show that was like New York goes to work or whatever?
Yeah, where she had to like basically get her hands dirty. I remember one specifically where she was on the farm.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So we'll do that. Well, I mean, obviously Frenchie wouldn't go to the farm because he's from the farm, but like we do that show. That's our pitch. We do that show with Frenchie. We'll pitch that idea and we'll pitch Dirty Drama Camping. And those will be our two pitches to the network for ideas. Yeah.
I can't believe I got to be Secretary of State for one day.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Him and William J. Burns have that in common.
Maybe that was it, that they decided to sign up for this reality show that never ended up getting past the pilot.
I'm sure it's like a temporary thing that, like, you know, you gotta like, you know, you fill in for your coworker, right? Like let's say someone, you know, Puya comes in to fill in for the host for you, right? Let's say It's not like he gets your title though.
Yeah. Hey, so, William, I had to call in sick today. Can you be Secretary of State for today?
Yeah, exactly. Can you be Secretary of State for me today? Okay. Final comment. I don't know what your score is, but you're doing great. Comment number 6.
That's Mariah's podcast. I don't know who you are or what you're doing, but you're doing great.
You're doing great. And you're doing a great job at it. Good luck in the game, .. And good luck in life, .. Because you're going to need it. LMAO.
Insulting. Good luck in the game and good luck in life because you're going to need it. I'm trying to think of like who would... It's a very open question of who would produce a video that would elicit such a statement, because again, it says much more about the person posting the comment than the person in the video. So this is going to be maybe the biggest crapshoot of them all. Good luck in the game and good luck in life, because
okay, let me give you another hint. Here's another comment that was on the same video, so about the same person. And I'm sure this is going to help you. She's 1 in 8 billion. What does that even mean?
Is that like in terms of
she's unique
or in terms of like the population of Earth?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously the 8 billion is in reference to the population of Earth. But like, you know, you're one. Oh, she's 1 in 1 million.
Right.
She's 1 in 8 billion.
I'm going to say Cassidy.
That is correct.
What?
Yeah, that's amazing.
I don't know how you did that. I guess she's like, she has a fairly unique profession. We talked about, especially compared to some of the other people that I guess would make her 1 in 8 billion. I don't know. I stumbled ass backwards into that one. Living backwards. Also,
technically, according to Google, as of 2020, there's only 7.753 billion. So really, this person needs to get their S together because 8 billion. We don't round here. That's not going to cut
it. No. Exact math is needed on Facebook.
Yes, because they do care about fact checking. All right, so great, well done, Mike. You did a fantastic job. You answered the questions, all of them. You provided answers, which is good. And I hope that helps to provide very little information about how the casuals view the contestants.
Again, considering how many of those answers were like it could literally be about anybody, though I think. With no offense to this cast whatsoever, I think just given the timing of everything you talked before, right, just about Big Brother, the challenge and everything, like, I do find when this cast rolled out, there's a little bit less of a fanfare around them, not because of the quality of the people, but I think just due to the timing around it all. And so I think it makes sense that people are not naturally flocking up. Oh my God, I've got to check this cast out. I think there's been a lot happening that people are saying, oh yeah, I guess Survivor's on in a week. Now I might as well check out these videos and post incredibly generic yet insulting comments to them.
Yes. You know what they say. If you don't have anything to say, post something vaguely insulting.
I mean, listen, that's a way to live in 2022.
Indeed.
Speaking of which, at the end of every podcast here on the BNB, of course, we like to shed a light on a charity or cause that is larger than ourselves. With no guest, it lays on Liana and I. Liana, I have one cause in mind, but if you have an additional one, feel free to state it as well.
Go for it.
Yeah, so obviously, look, this was put into a bit of motion over the course of Survivor 42 airing, but since Survivor 43 have finished airing, of course, the Supreme Court struck down the Roe v. Wade constitutional case that, of course, made abortion legal across the United States, now making it a states' rights issue. Of course, this leaves several people in very dire circumstances when it comes to getting procedures done or even just certain types of health care. And so what I would recommend people do is to support your local abortion funds if you have the means to do so. And you can do that by just going to abortionfunds.org. They essentially have like a full list of abortion funds URLs in your area. So instead of donating to like a national network, while that is all well and good, if we talk about exacting change within our own backyard, I think that can be really seen if you're able to find an abortion care facility in your area and be able to impact them directly, whether from a volunteering or from a donation perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely co-sign that. I mean, as someone who's like donated a lot of money to Planned Parenthood, I think in these cases, because you have individuals that need individualized care, because it's something that can't be applied systemically throughout the country, obviously, as indicated by the ruling of it being states' rights, that I think that that is a smart way to go and absolutely support everything that Mike said.
All right, so feel free to check that out. But here we are, Liana. We've started this mean motor scooter back up, revved up, ready to go next week. It all happens with, for the third time in a row, 2-hour premiere of Survivor 43. I'm going to imagine it's going to be another two-person going situation. So we'll certainly have a lot to talk about. And in honor of the double episode, we've been doing this since Survivor 41. We've had a tradition of bringing on a pair to make this a bit of a double date, a podcasting pair. And very excited about this because we are getting messy to start things off. The Mess Magnets themselves, Kirsten McInnes and Sasha Joseph, are going to be joining us to recap episode one, the 2-hour premiere of Survivor 43. Should be a lot of fun. Other than that, Liana, what else do you have going on in terms of podcasts?
Well, I forgot, but I am excited that they will be here because if they don't cover the chess drama,
yes,
I will be asking them direct questions. So if you're listening, you better study up. Okay. All right. So what else do I have going on? Oh my God, I have so much going on.
I'm sure nothing. Like, no, everything.
I did the math of Puya. I have like 5 podcasts over the span of 7 days or something ridiculous.
Okay.
So because we have, hold on. Where do I start? Survivor. Yeah. So Mike and I are doing the BNB. Great. That's done. Survivor. We love it. Love Survivor. Mm-hmm. Great. Big Brother is ending. Mike and I will be doing the BNB for Big Brother, which is ending at some point in the future. So look out for that. Masked Singer is starting. Puya and I will be doing coverage of that. Lego Masters is coming back as well. They're all premiering on the same night, so that's fantastic.
Oh my God, that's premiering on the 21st too?
Yes! Yes! So, my sister and I will be doing some coverage of it. I think we're going to do what we did last season, or I guess the whole time, is we do a preseason or a one episode coverage, and then we do like periodic check-ins throughout the way. So, yes, I am recording. Oh, and I'm doing am I doing the recap of the recap? I'll talk with Sam. Anyway, so I'm around.
As am I. I did not realize this, but I am like fully on the pulse of all CBS reality TV right now.
Yes, because you have The Amazing Race, right? You
the Amazing Race.
The challenge.
Yep. So Survivor, obviously, we mentioned it copious amount of times before, but in case you somehow missed it, Rob and I did 7.5 hours podcast previews for the 18 contestants, as well as articles up on Parade.com. I mentioned the Jeff Probst interview as well. Check all of that out. Really had a lot of fun and always grateful to CBS for giving me the coverage to be able to do that. Going to be doing Exit Press as well for this season, so expect those on Thursdays at Parade.com. Big Brother, we are winding things down to Liana's point, and so I'm doing Exit Press for that. And we had a goddamn ridiculous recap episode last night where it was Rob, myself, Jenny Autumn, Chappelle. It went like off the rails would be describing it mildly. It was a very, very fun time though. So feel free to check that out. The Challenge USA, I am doing exit press for that as well. Given the way things ended, I'm sure people want to hear from these contestants and how they approach things. I'm talking with the majority of them. A few of them unfortunately had to bow out due to availability issues, but those should be up at parade.com. And like Liana mentioned, The Amazing Race is starting the same night as Survivor. Any thoughts, Liana, as a Big Brother fan, about Derek and Claire on The Amazing Race?
Well, I mean, you know, the rumors out in the rumor mill streets had spoiled this for me a while ago, but I have no idea how they ultimately ended up doing. I'm excited to see them play because we didn't really see their relationship blossom until that glorious photo spread that we got to see after the season wrapped. So it's going to be interesting to understand their dynamics as a couple, and The Amazing Race is honestly the perfect place to test those dynamics.
Yeah, so you can check out all of our coverage. Rob, myself, and Jessica Lease have done a preview of the 11 teams, 12 teams, actually. And then we're doing weekly coverage as well. That doesn't even describe all the stuff going on post-show recaps that I'm doing between coverage of House of the Dragon, Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. Did a little bit of an Andor preview, as well as starting up a new project with Josh Wigler as well. So, yeah, the fall is very much happening. Right now, get your PSLs in gear and get your pod SLs in gear, people. We've got a lot of talking to do about these shows and always grateful for the opportunity to get behind the mic. Of course, to help support that, if you have any games to send us, if anything strikes your fancy creatively as you're watching these episodes, feel free to let us know. You can either email us, rhapbnb@gmail.com, or tweet us using the hashtag rhapbnb. We are receptive to any and all game ideas. We love getting to do this, but we'll admit, especially with how much we have going on, sometimes there are weeks where we're like, I don't know. And so we are like incredibly grateful to people who send us not only game ideas, but even some people like create games. And that is just really an awesome experience with a fantastic community. So feel free to send us stuff as the season goes along. But otherwise, Liana, I cannot wait for another season of getting to do this with you.
Oh my gosh, me too. I, you know, even with everything that's going on and feeling overwhelmed, Survivor always is just the most exciting to me. I can't even speak right now. I'm like, I'm speaking too fast. Yeah. It's just so many thoughts running through my brain right now. Oh my gosh, I can't even get them all out. The warranty applies for 15 more years. Machine talk.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. May cause headaches, death, fatigue.
Yeah, that survivor might. Diarrhea, gastrointestinal distress. Anyway, the point is, what I'm trying to say, I'm excited and I'm looking forward to going through the season with you.
Yes, same. All right, so hopefully you'll all be along with the ride for us as we dive into next week's two-hour premiere of Survivor 43. Expect that over the course of the weekend with Kirsten and Sasha. Thank you all so much for listening. Until next week, we'll check you out at your next day.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
You can say for free. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.